Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
This has been a good year. I was just actually reminiscing as we were singing today. This is actually a Sunday that kind of completes for Julie and I an entire year of ministering here at Living Waters. And thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a good days ahead. There's the word that just continues to come to my mind is anticipation. I don't know, it's just always been the word of anticipating together the good things that God wants to do in our lives individually. That's where it starts. And then, of course, when that work happens around us and we get to do things together. And so New Year's going to be good. And we look forward to the beginning of the year, talking about some things in the future. There's going to be some good conversations that we'll share together. Our new January series, we're going to be looking at the word uncovered, new beginnings in prayer. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that soon. But it is a time to watch Christmas movies. I'm not sure what your favorite movie is, but being the very cultured Soames family, full of Elf is ours, right? Is there anybody else? This is a real time. Oh, yes, I knew it. There's only a few good people in this room. And this is my favorite part, or one of my favorite parts of Elf right here. We need to, again, it has to happen a few more times. It didn't freeze. Maybe it did freeze. I'm in love. I'm in love. That's the best. That's the best. That's the best. Yes. I'm in love. I'm in love. And I just don't care who knows it. We've been watching that movie for years, and we'll watch it again soon. In some far-out, crazy way, when the shepherds left Bethlehem, they kind of had one of those moments, for Luke records it this way. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. I think they went back to their flock saying, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. What happened to create that moment in those shepherds' lives? What happened? I think it would be safe to say in Luke chapter 2 that the events of that evening, the shepherds didn't see coming. You may have read that, and maybe you read it differently, and that's fair, but it doesn't seem that this idea of spiritual awakening that happened that night, or and then the idea of those shepherds taking giant steps of forward on a spiritual pilgrimage, it didn't seem, in my mind at least, as I read it, I don't think it was on their minds. Very, very differently than the pilgrimage that the Magi went on. That was very calculated and very strategic, and it was all plotted. I think the shepherds' Christmas experience was a little different, but yet permanently changed them. And how true it is that people come to find Jesus many, many different ways. And there we have the Magi, a very calculated, very perhaps academic format. And that's Jesus stands the test of the academic. And then there is this spontaneous, I just didn't see it coming, it just seems so right. And the shepherds found themselves all in. Let's, for a few minutes, as we finish our generous series on this final Sunday of Advent discussing generous love, let's revisit the Luke chapter 2, and maybe we can understand a little bit more from this familiar story of the spiritual pilgrimage that the shepherds found themselves engaging. So who are these shepherds? They were at work. It wasn't the 9-to-5 shift, it was the night shift. And shepherds in their day never seemed to be very well-to-do. And it wouldn't be stretched to say that the shepherds lived on the fringes of society. And typically, the fringes of society is perhaps not the usual place that we associate with abundance. They lived on the fringes, and it wasn't about abundance. It was the format of life was perhaps not that. In Luke chapter 2, we see that the light or the attention, the spotlight, was shining on shepherds who were not necessarily used to being included. This night, the shepherds, however, were brought into the middle of things. They were brought into the middle of the story. And here we see our God turning up in all of his fullness and meeting people that were on the fringes, bringing his love and his company to the impoverished, to the lonely. And it made a difference. Really did. So whether today we think of ourselves as people that are on the fringes, for whatever that would mean to you, or perhaps maybe you think of yourself more in the center, and for whatever reason that would be, or in the middle of things, we see God turning up in all of his fullness to meet people where they're at. And that truly is a good place to start a discussion about the Christmas story. He meets us where we're at. So wherever you're at today is where the Lord wants to meet you. What was it that stirred the attention and imagination of these shepherds to take their next steps on their spiritual pilgrimage? Well, it was earlier in that chapter that the angels announced to these shepherds, "You will find a baby. You will find a baby." And keying in on that invitation is the word "find." And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but it begs repeating. The word "find" is the big word here. It means to discover or to acquire something that's been missing but yet available. Something that you need is there waiting for you, and you are needing to go get it. So when they said, "You will find the baby," it was a very personal invitation to them. Something, someone having what you're missing and telling you where it is. The word "find" is about experience. So this experience that you're needing to have, that you're missing, is waiting for you. You will find, you will experience, and that word is all future orientated. It's about something that you've been missing. You will find an experience that will move you on in your spiritual pilgrimage. So the Christmas message that the shepherds heard, and I think I need to hear it again today, is the Christmas message is about experience. It's about experience. Discovering God's love firsthand for ourselves. And I hope you get there this year. Each one of us. For no one should tire of making their way to the manger. No one. Put the shepherd in a different place in the room, or put the manger in a different, but no one should tire of making their way to the manger and experiencing Jesus. Finding in him what we can't find anywhere else, and knowing it's about an alive and future. What's interesting is the shepherds believed that God was talking to them. It's through the angel's voice, and so they took appropriate next steps forward in their spiritual pilgrimage because they sensed God was talking to them. How does God talk to you? Because he is. He's talking to you all the time. We see the format in which God got the attention of the shepherds. But he's talking to you this Christmas. Do we have ears to hear? Because the manger is not about status quo at all. It's not about keeping things the same. It's about new life. It's about new purpose. It's about discovering in a new way an old experience. So consider in our text today, the shepherds came to Bethlehem and they found the baby just as the angels invited them to do. And I think they found more than they were expecting. I really do. And recorded in our text how they left Bethlehem. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. And I don't care who knows it. What did they... It's, again, Luke says it was based upon what they heard and what they saw. So what did they hear and what did they see? I think very simply, I think they heard that God was thinking about them. That God's plan included them. For it would seem prior to this, the shepherds weren't thinking too much about God. But this passage, this story tells us that God was thinking about them and including them. And it's still the case today. Regardless of the amount of attention we give God, God has given us all of his attention. The key word here is what they heard, based upon what they heard and seen. So the word hear means to yield obedience to the voice. It's kind of like the parental expression when an angry parent is talking to a child and the parent says, "Do you hear me?" Right? Again, it's not just about hearing. Do you hear me? You know that one? You do it differently than that, maybe. That's how I do it. You know? Not a word, it's a grunt. But do you hear me is a question not related to do you hear, but are you complying to what I'm saying to you, right? The parental, right? You get it? So by saying, the shepherds by saying, yes, I hear it, what they're actually saying is I comply. What were they complying to? Well, the angel said, the Messiah, the Savior, and the Lord has been born. So when they were hearing in Bethlehem, they were perhaps complying to the fact that this baby was going to be their Messiah, their Savior, and their Lord. A Messiah. Do you have a Messiah? The Messiah is, by definition, the chosen one, the anointed one. And for anyone to call somebody an anointed one means that they have a special role to play in their life. So who you and I choose to be our Messiah is very, very important. And Christians today believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and there's only one. They believe he is the chosen, and this is actually what I believe. They believe that he is the chosen one God sent to live amongst us, and Jesus has brought definition to what it means to have a good Messiah in our life. It's what the shepherds heard, and they complied, say, yep, I agree, I'm in. The angel said, a Savior is born. The same child is the Messiah, and he's a Savior, fulfilling that role within a person's life. To actually be able to name your Savior is important, to put a name on it. I have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Christians believe that Jesus, this is what I believe, Christians believe Jesus has an ability to call people by name and to save and rescue people from a meaningless life that perhaps is what people experience without God. Christians believe that they have been saved and forgiven from the wrong things that they have done in front of God and to other people. I have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And it puts a smile on my face. And I'm in love, and I'm in love, and I'm in love. And I don't care who knows it. And the shepherd said, I comply to his lordship. Christians believe that Jesus is the Lord, that life is a gift from God, and that this life needs to be lived in a meaningful way, lived in a way that honors their Lord and brings great blessing on earth and for all eternity to all people. So they heard and they complied. And I hope you would in a fresh way today as well, or maybe for the first time. Living a life without a Messiah, a Savior, and a Lord takes all different directions and forms, and sometimes, actually most times, it probably doesn't get us to the best places. So perhaps your next step in your spiritual pilgrimage is to say, yeah, that looks good to me. I'm in. What did they see? So again, they returned glorifying God based upon what they heard and what they saw. What did they see? This is a little like the expression that we use, I see what you're saying, which is a weird thing. I see what you're saying. See what you're saying. I use that expression all the time. I don't even know what it means. But everybody else does. So I'll use it too. I see what you're saying. That's kind of what's going on here. The word see ties us back, though, to what the angels used when they used the word find. Again, the word find is they saw what they needed to find and to experience. They found what they'd been missing, and they saw how their future now would be very different because they had a Messiah, they had a Savior, and they had a Lord. What did the shepherds see? They saw a very generous God that included them. They saw that God was all in, abounding and full of unconditional love. Notice how the shepherds didn't bring anything. Doesn't say they did anyways. They didn't earn this love. It's just like Mike prayed. They just said yes, and they received so much. They heard a message that day that yes, yes. It was a message of yes. We're included. Yes, God has so much on his mind for us. Corinthians says it this way in chapter 1, verse 20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. You can't look at the manger, and you can't look beyond the manger to the cross and not hear and see the word yes. Yes to you. It's yes. It's yes. One of the best words to summarize the gospel is yes. It's true. It means yes. Every year, every month, every day, every hour, God is for you. So Christmas requires us to ask some significant questions. What are we going to do with this love that God is loving you with right now? What are we going to do with that love? He's loving on you right now. What are we going to do with that love? And what are we going to do with the fact that God is reaching out to us right now and including us? What are we going to do with the fact that God's love for us is not going away? What are we going to do with that love that God has for your neighbor and for the rest of your family and for the whole world? We can say yes or we can say no. We can say yes. We can say yes to his yes. By saying yes, this Christmas, I receive you and will keep on receiving you. Your love will nourish me and will strengthen me and become the main focal point for how I conduct my life. And I will live a life that's awakened and livened by this generous love of God. Ah, yes sounds so right. You can say no. But friends, next year you and I will find ourselves at that manger once again. And we'll find ourselves at Easter once again, looking past the manger and looking up at the cross. And I will hear that same question that the manger asks. What are you going to do with this generous love? It's not going away. It's interesting reading the Gospel of John. And looking forward to sharing this in the new year. John's boast. And John, six times in his gospel, referred to himself as the one that Jesus loves. Have you ever seen that or not? But six times he says, I'm the one that Jesus loves. And when you first read that, you go, man, a little bit of pride? Like, what's that posturing? I'm the one that Jesus loves. And actually, it's good theology. For you can put your name in there just like John did. And by faith, you can, with a big smile on your face, say, Dave is the one that Jesus loves. So are you. If you just have the courage to put your name in there. Come empty-handed and leave with your heart full. Put your name in there. For you are the one that Jesus loves. The gospel tells us that Jesus is all in. For Christmas is something that happened for us, and Christmas is something that happened to us. Christmas is not something you do. Christmas is about something you receive. It's about agape love. It's not about us getting it right. It's about Him getting it right over and over and over and over and over again. Gospel tells us that Jesus is in, all in, and He's not going anywhere. He's all in. So just like John got it right, I'm the one that Jesus loves. The shepherds got it right. I'm in love, and I just don't care who knows it. You and I can get it right today. For the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen. They went back to work, right? They left work, they went to Bethlehem, and they came back to work. They went back to life, ordinary life. But yet, they went back as different people because their life was enlivened by generous love. So as we close this service this morning, I want you to take a look in the manger. And I want you look past the manger and take a look at the cross that creates the shadow over the manger. And hear the words of the messenger today. God's all in. Will you be? God says yes. Will you say yes? God says, I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. And I want the whole world to know it. Would you stand with us as we pray? As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you use these closing moments wisely? In just a moment, I'll lead us in a closing prayer. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you renew your commitment to the Lord today and say yes? Would you just say yes, I'm in? Yes, Jesus, I choose you again this day to be my Messiah, my Savior, and my Lord. And I will boast from this day forward that I am the one that Jesus loves. Say yes. We say yes. I'm all in because you're all in. Lord, today we, the stillness and simplicity of these sacred Christmas moments, we do take a look into the manger and see the shadow of the cross over it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We come very empty-handed today, and you fill us afresh with generous love and good purpose. I pray today that this moment would be marked by good experience. Even as we tell the old stories of shepherds and wise men, we thank you that those old stories are made new because of the work of your Spirit in a room like this. So Holy Spirit, do that tender work within our hearts and our lives today, knowing that that's a good work that you're doing. For we find in you that which we find nowhere else. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Trust you have a good rest of your day. And trust we'll see you tomorrow night at our Christmas Eve services.